Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. And this is a show, above all, about gratitude. Gratitude felt and gratitude expressed. Gratitude written down, stamped, and mailed.
A love letter can be to anyone at all, for any reason, and at any time. It can be for romantic purposes, or, as I said, almost anything else. I recently returned from my aunt's 90th birthday party, and she had a table full of love letters, actual cards, but actual love letters, some from very small children who wrote to dear Aunt Anne, you know, I loved being at your house, you know, you make the best cookies, that sort of thing. So those are, in a way, love letters.
Yes, so thank you note / love letter,
right.
Acceptance, appreciation, really anything, just so it's a real letter on real paper and sent to somebody. And that's not to say that email isn't wonderful in its place and telephones and all the other things, and maybe we'll talk about some of those things another time, but it's not the same as a letter, as that envelope showing up in your pile of mail with some precious handwriting on it that is...
And from the post office.
Yes, and just from you. And speaking of post office, thank you, because I've wanted to talk about this. If I may take a minute... You may think that there are just two people involved in the love letter, you and the person to whom you're writing, but no, there are three. You need somebody to get it from you to that other person, and my vote is for the United States Post Office. I think they are one of the most glamorous romantic outfits ever. I've been doing a lot of reading about it lately because I'm interested
romantic,
these days.
Romantic? The post office? Janet, you're kidding.
Just dreamy. And, you know, now it's evolved into something else. Now these postal carriers, their letter carriers, poor guys and girls, are the beasts of burden for the catalog company and the things the IRS sends out and the ads and the commercials and the mortgage bargains, and it just goes on forever. But that's not what they signed up for, and I want to read you what a description of the post office. Here's what a letter was, and for my money, still is. Here is a description of the post office. I was a blubbering fool by the number four here, but the post office, a letter was, this was what they were geared to do for you, be a messenger of sympathy and love, a servant of parted friends, a consoler of the lonely, the bond of the scattered family, enlarger of the common life, carrier of news and knowledge, instrument of trade and industry, promoter of mutual acquaintance, and the promoter of peace and goodwill among men and nations. And I'd like to know where all that went. Now, if we start writing love letters, we can bring the postal carriers back to do the job they signed up for, to be heroic and connect us. So that's all.
Well, that brings us to our guest today, because we will... hear from our guest about the person that she wants to send a love letter to.
Yes, one more. Okay, so our guest today is Carol Breen. And Carol, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to tell how you like to be introduced, what you do?
Well, I would say my name is Carol Breen, and I right now I'm a psychotherapist. This is a new vocation for me in my life at the age of 70. And I also am married, and fortunately, my husband is still with me, and healthy and happy.
And adorable.
And have two children and two wonderful grandchildren.
Okay. So I am going to ask you to answer the question, and I know you've thought about it. What have been the challenges in your life? And I've known you as an adult, and I know that you are beautiful and live a beautiful life. And what have been the challenges in your life, and the blessings and the gifts unexpected?
The challenges, you know, I think sometimes, as I'm thinking about that question right now, for me, just, I think, growing up is a great challenge. And constantly being able to look at one's life and see where you are at that moment in life, if possible, continue to change and develop, and to be have a certain amount of acceptance of oneself.
But that comes a little bit later.
Comes later.
What about when you were a child, growing up in your home?
When I was a child, my home was, we were poor. We were not destitute, but we certainly were not in the least bit affluent. It was a challenge living in a household with a lot of people, two families for about a five-year period, where we took care of my two little cousins and the crowded space. It was a challenge getting to know who I was, really, I think, in that sense, in that environment, and not having my father around very much because he traveled and was sometimes not home for months at a time. So that was
so they left you home with your mother and your brother.
My brother, my mother, brother, aunt.
Oh,
two cousins,
oh, that's right.
Uncle.
Yes. So what was your mother
Woody
like under this?
House.
Did you?
Yeah. If you saw one of his movies, I think it was Radio Days. Yeah, that was my house.
In what way? Just for those of us who don't know that.
All those people living there in two bedrooms, one bath. A lot of commotion going on, people coming and going, other family coming to visit during that period of time.
Did people share bathroom time easily?
You know, it's a funny thing. It just sort of happens. You share it. You learn how to share it. Yeah.
And because now you have bathroom
now,
galore.
You know, since I got married, I have not shared a bathroom.
Right.
My husband has his and I have mine.
And that seems normal.
It seems best.
It seems best.
I think actually that's one of the secrets to a happy marriage.
It's a very good
Yes.
Probably good for a household, I'll tell you that.
What?
Good for a household.
I'm sure.
But
so what was your mother like under this? This must have been...
My mother had worked from the time that I was 7 or 8 on, maybe it was a little bit later, 9 on, my mother had to work. And it was hard for her.
What did she do?
She was a secretary, and she in those days was a secretary. Today she would be an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked a long day, came home, had to be responsible for the meals. From the time that I was 10 on, I would be responsible for the meals and cook the dinner and whatever. I remember once cooking a steak that we had in the refrigerator for my cousin and myself, who was... The other family left when my uncle remarried. We had new people come in, my cousin and his mother.
Oh, sure. There was extra room in that bathroom.
So we had these two people. So I fixed a steak for Marvin and myself. And my mother came home and said, a day or two later, where's the steak? And I said, what steak? She said, describe the steak. I said, Marvin and I ate it the other night. And she said, you ate the steak? The steak was for Friday night dinner for everybody. And the two of us had eaten the steak. Oh. To this day, he and I remember that steak. Uh-huh. It was a good steak.
I bet.
Kosher steak. As good as you could get it.
So what was your mother's attitude? I mean, what was her temperament?
Her temperament was...
Was she a sufferer?
She was a sufferer. She suffered the tortures of hell. Well, at the later part of her life, she suffered. She would say, how are you? I'm suffering the tortures of hell. But at any rate, no, she worked hard. She didn't complain a lot, but she let you know, you could tell that her life was not, she was not happy-go-lucky. She was shy. She was always overweight. She was shy about her, she was self-conscious about her body. She was shy with people she didn't know, and yet extremely close to family, extended family. If you were the family, she was close. But to friends, she had a hard time. She was socially shy.
Uh-huh. And of course,
I didn't
that's
realize
not her fault,
that until I was... In my 20s, I suppose.
Now, something else must have come through because, well, first of all, to look at you, I mean, you were such a petite, beautiful slip of a thing.
It'd be hard to picture
you coming from somebody overweight, but that's a silly
thing to say. Well, my father is very thin.
So genetically,
I got my father. But also, my brother and I have a real aversion to fat because of my mother's fatness.
Yes. And you're also all very accomplished, you and your brother. And your children. So what came through there?
Education mm-hmm. and culture were very important to my mother. She graduated high school, but she never had an opportunity to go further. But she always revered the family members who were well-educated.
And what did she want for you in life?
She wanted for us. She wanted us to be educated. She wanted us to have some sort of profession. She wanted us to marry... Well,
mm-hmm. and did you?
Well, my brother certainly did, and she thought he did, and he did. He married a lovely woman. She was opposed to my marriage because I was marrying someone who did not come from an affluent family or a family of great educated peoples, and this was an unhappy engagement. But in later times, she learned to adore my husband, absolutely adored him.
And this is the same husband that you have now?
Same husband, 50 years, soon to be.
And so cute. I mean, he happens to be a friend. He's wonderful. But this is my question. Was there no sense of, if you marry someone who isn't already at that station of life, that people have potential and he was smart? And, I mean, you're living the life she...
She had, I think, she... The great sadness of her life was that she had no money.
Mm-hmm.
That she really had to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great sadness in her life.
And it's difficult.
And it was difficult. It was very difficult for her. And I guess it is for people who are poor. So that she didn't want me to have to endure that. And I got engaged when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So she really felt that I should, you know, I could have gotten engaged to someone who was a doctor. That would have been wonderful.
Yeah.
But this was a young man who was just going out working for a brokerage firm. And she didn't have much confidence in this, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to live through me, you know, let's face it, she wanted to live through me, and it was hard.
And right away.
And right away here I'm marrying someone who is, you know, not a
fool. Struggling.
Yes, not going to give her the status she was hoping for. So let me ask you, I'm saying this, but I really know who it is, who gets your love letter today?
My mother gets the love letter.
Mm-hmm. And what's your goal?
My goal was... to just let her know, of course, she's not here, she's been deceased many years, but to put in writing what I felt, what I feel, and what I am today. That was the original goal. My goal now is to, well, it turned out that this was so cathartic that the first line, when I reread it, I start to tear a little bit. But the goal now is to write down how I feel about my mother now.
Mm-hmm. How lovely.
And that I want my children and my grandchildren to see this.
Okay, so that's the question. You know, I think it's so beautiful to write to someone we love who's no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, I want to stress, that someone is no longer here does not mean we don't have a lot to say. Sometimes we want to say things we never had a chance to say. But even if we said everything, time has passed, and we may want to say more to catch that person up with our lives, and also so that we know what we want to say to that person, and that's valuable.
Really, it is to catch them up with the life as it is today, to
mm-hmm.
see this is what's happened, Mom, but this is also who I am.
Right.
And this is also what I think about you today.
And as much as we say that person isn't going to get a chance to read it, well, technically no, but, you know, who of us is sophisticated enough to know that people who are gone don't sense things and don't know things? I mean, I wouldn't want to take a stand on that one. So my question, well, we want to do station identification,
I know. Just quickly remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, San Francisco. Love Letters Live. We hope you'll join us every week.
Thank you. And I want to say that usually the questions I ask, for those of you who have listened before, you know, what is your goal? And Carol just told us what that is. Thank you. And what are the three things you most want this person to know? Whether or not you've ever said them before, putting them on paper is different. It carries so much difference. And what are the things you've never said that seem to be too hard to say, that you thought you should keep secret, that you shouldn't expose yourself? I personally think it's lovely to expose ourselves. It makes us human beings who feel something, and I think it's usually welcome if we're saying something about ourselves. But I happen to know that since we last spoke, Carol has written the letter because I see it here. And ordinarily we work on starting the letter on this show, but on a couple of occasions we've been treated to a letter already done. And Carol, I'm just going to ask you to read it if you want to, and you would.
Well, I would love to read it, and what I'm going to do, because this morning as I looked at it, I decided things should be a little different.
Okay.
The more I look at it, the more it changes. But I'll read it in segments.
As you have it, whatever you want.
Interrupt me at any time. And I just start off with, Dear Mother, here I am, 70 years old. Can you believe it? I remember when you were. I think you still may have been working. Guess what? So am I. I think you had to, though, to save money. I don't think you liked it particularly, but I do. This is a new profession for me, Mom. But lately I've been thinking about you a lot, wondering what you would think about me. Have I made it? Have I become the type of person you always admired? Remember that time you took me to see and hear that woman who was seeking support, any kind, for Israel before it was a state? I think I was 10, maybe 12. Remember that? she made a big impression on me. I still remember what she said very clearly. And I think that she became my subconscious mentor. But you were my mentor, too. I never told you that. In fact, I never even thought of it until I began to write this letter. And that's what's so beautiful about writing this letter, that you realize all the feelings that you have that you waited so long to understand, these most basic of feelings. And I think that's for so many people. It's because we're so busy finding out who we are for so much of our lives. It's like a fight within oneself, and I'm still working on it. You know, every time I reread the first line of this letter, I become sad and start to cry. How much time lost and how many opportunities wasted. Actually, I am very much like you in many ways, more like you than you would have ever thought. She always used to say, where does she come from? And I wanted to say, don't you know? I'm going to tell you. Well, that was a good question, but I came from you.
Should I go on?
Yes, please.
Well, I want to tell you who I am and what I am. As you know, I live a good life in a lovely home. And over the last years, Mom, I forgave you for being so harsh and difficult about Marvin. He turned out to be so good, but you knew that. And over the years, we've been active in community affairs, Jewish affairs, the things you admired. I kept in close contact and still do with family, and we have actually wonderful friends, all ages, from different backgrounds and social status. And social status doesn't mean that much to me. I think that's what was so wonderful about you. Social status was important, but giving to your community was even more important. And that's what stuck with me. So I enjoy my life. I became a psychotherapist, and I think you would be proud of me. But that's interesting. I still want you to be proud of me. All our lives, we still want Mommy to be proud of us. Anyway, I've been lucky, as you know, and I have more than you could ever dream of. Mom, if you could see the world today, you wouldn't know what to do. There are so many inventions. I'm writing on a computer when I want to, which has a typewriter with a keyboard and a screen, like a TV screen. You can write on it, and it does so many things. You can obtain information. Imagine, it's a miracle. I look at all the things we have, and I think, these are miracles. If only my mother were here to see these miracles. I go to my car, I have my keys in my purse, and I open the door. It's a miracle. But then the biggest miracle of all are my two children, whom you knew, Robin and Neff. Robin got married to Don, and Don is from New Orleans, where we're from, and he comes from a great family. Yep, Mom, they are cultured, and they are well-educated, and they were from a just wonderful, wonderful people. You would be so proud of Robin. You would have loved that marriage, I can assure you. And they live 18 minutes from our house here, and they have two fabulous girls. Oh, boy. What you wouldn't do to see those girls, in a way, they're so wonderful. They are capable. They're 11 and 9, and they are beautiful. They are, one is vibrant and alive. The other one is thoughtful and quiet like you were. She really takes after you a lot. And Neff... Well, Mom, Neff is gay. That means he's a homosexual. And believe it or not, he and his partner, Ken, just married in Canada. Imagine I'm saying this on the radio, Mother. You just wouldn't know how to handle that. But I know that you would love what you see. You would adore Ken, very, very bright. And you would adore Neff because he is so accomplished. He's a doctor, psychiatrist, and you would be thrilled to death. So this is how my life is now. I'm very happy, and I'm just so proud that I can speak this way on the radio and let you know how much I love you. I'm sorry you're not here to be with us. I'm sorry you're not here to live a good life with me, really. And I miss you.
Wow.
Thank you. That was really so beautiful and so complete.
Was it?
Yes, and I felt the same way when I heard you say that. I'm 70 now. There is something so heart-ripping about talking to our parents from their own age when we last saw them.
Mm-hmm.
It's that business about having older children
and for mothers to have postmenopausal daughters has got to be just absolutely jarring when only such a short time ago they had to change our diapers. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's the journey and the passage of time just means so much for everyone. And as you've just shown, it doesn't mean too much in affection lost one bit.
No. And the older you get, you know, Eric Erickson said in his stages of life that the final stage is really at that point one would want to be able to accept their life for what it is and to be able to look at their parents and understand, I'm paraphrasing of course,
uh-huh.
that they also had a lot of travails and
mm-hmm.
such and
mm-hmm.
difficulties
mm-hmm.
and appreciate them for what they were. They did the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
She did the best she could.
Oh, and apparently she did some good.
Well,
you know, even that
bad.
You certainly didn't. Even the business about wanting you to make a certain kind of marriage is, as I'm listening to you say it, it's striking me that there's another component to that, and that is we value our daughters, and we want them to be valued by somebody else, and we want them to have what we know they deserve. We treasure our daughters,
mm-hmm.
and our sons, of course, too, but our daughters in a slightly different way. And
yeah.
we want whoever they marry to see their beautiful value and to come forth
mm-hmm.
with everything they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's another component just that she wanted the status. She wanted you to be recognized for who she knew you were, I
but
think.
But also to have a better life
yes.
than we have. I mean, even those of us who have a wonderful life today look at our children and say, I hope they can continue to have this life
right.
and make it even better.
Yes, yes, for sure. Well, thank you so much. Now, the question is, a letter to be a love letter should be mailed to someone,
mm-hmm.
and you are going to mail this to...
I think I shall mail this to my two granddaughters.
Beautiful.
How old are they?
One is, let's see, she was just 9.
I hope I'm right. She'll be
mm-hmm.
angry if
that's
I'm wrong.
Okay. And the other one is 11.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Will you send to your children also, or not necessarily?
Well, I'll probably send it to my son and daughter as well. But,
yeah.
of course, my children, her two daughters will share it with her.
Right.
But to my son
yes.
as well. And,
yes.
and my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. And
both
so,
sons-in-law.
So they will know something more about you
mm-hmm.
and their own history.
Yes.
Their own
yes.
genetic history and cultural history and how important.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll keep a copy for yourself, right?
And I'll keep
right?
a copy for myself, of
okay.
course, and for my husband.
And if anything comes of this, if you get a really interesting response or something touching, will you let us know so we can share it?
Yes, I will. And if you do, will you let me know?
Yes.
So
and
I
that's, by the way,
share.
The next thing. If you would like to be in touch with Carol, if anything she said is something you relate to or feel or have a similar life and you'd like to talk to her, ask her, please email us at
www.loveletterslive.com. There's
Thank
a contact
you.
Button that you can click, and that's how to reach us.
Yes, that's our website, so you can get and we'll forward it to Carol.
No problem.
We'll forward it right
mm-hmm.
to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a couple of questions for Carol about you. Your letter was just lovely, very, very moving. Would your how long has she been gone?
Let's see, 20 years.
Uh-huh. Would she be excited by this new technology, by the fact that you were writing a letter on a computer and some of the things that you wrote?
I think she would. I think she would really be excited. And I think my father would have been excited, too. He died at 98, so
uh-huh.
he died
wow.
About 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, I think they both would have just been, you know, floored.
Who wouldn't, really?
Floored.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm floored
uh-huh.
sometimes. It's just wonderful. But I think the other thing that struck me so much about this is that at the age of 70, it's funny how today when I look back at my mother at 70, she looked old, and I think she did.
Oh, she probably looked old at 50. I mean, it was different.
Yes, and today I don't feel old. I've started a new private practice.
Oh, I wish this were television so people would know what you're talking about.
And it's just so different. And but that one always, even though you get older, there's always that need to feel some attachment to a parent.
Right.
To have some feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to forgive them for their frailties.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. At what age did you decide to become a psychotherapist and start that?
About 5 years ago.
Wow.
I had
you.
A diploma already, but I had to go back for training and such.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What were you doing before that?
Well, I had worked in community organizations uh-huh. and fundraising for many years, and then I was doing a lot of volunteer work.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank
wonderful.
You very much.
So 70 is just the perfect age for a woman to start a new career.
I think so.
I have a friend who became the mayor of West Hollywood at 80.
Why not?
No limits.
Why not? Mm-hmm. And thank you all for having me on here, because it was a catharsis for me, too, to write this letter.
Well, thank you for sharing all that with everybody who's listening.
Thank
and now
you
that you know
much.
How to write love letters, we hope you'll write many, many more.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to write a lot of love letters.
This will be just the beginning.
That's right. And poetry, maybe. Who knows?
Good.
The next Emily Dickinson.
Sure. Well, and you know something? If you write poetry, I mean, those can certainly be the love letters.
Oh, yes.
I mean, maybe that's what you mean, but that's a beautiful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We love to hear from our listeners, as we said. Please send us your questions for Janet. She will answer them on the air. And we do have one today.
Okay.
Dear Janet, my ex-husband, who lives about 100 miles away from me, is terminally ill. We have maintained a friendly relationship since the divorce, and I would like to be kept informed of his condition so that I can visit him when the end is near. The problem is that my daughter, who lives near him, has taken on the role of gatekeeper. She never tells me about his condition until after some major downward event has occurred. I'm afraid that she won't let me know when death is imminent, and I will miss the chance to say goodbye to him. He is the father of our children, and I do have some tender feelings toward him. I would like to write a love letter, but I don't want to write it too soon.
Oh, no such thing. As too soon. I was just going to say, why wait till death is imminent? Because you may hear when he's too weak to read it. He may be in a coma. He may be just not able. So many things happen that close to death. Why not write it now? And never mind the death being imminent. Why not just write the letter now, the love letter of appreciation for whatever it is you feel? Never mind the timing.
Mm-hmm. Any sensitivities about writing to him since he has remarried and has
I wouldn't think so. Is he in the hospital now?
It doesn't say.
Well, you know something? Just send it. Just send it. And, I mean, obviously you're not going to, you know, draw hearts and I love yous on the envelope or anything threatening to a new wife. But send it and just have it be a nice memory of what you did have, of the children you have and how valuable that is, or whatever it is positive you feel and how nice that you are the kind of person who can feel positive about an ex-spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever you loved is probably still there.
Mm-hmm. Carol, as a psychotherapist, would you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think what Janet said is right on. You know, send it now will be wonderful for you,
mm-hmm.
and probably very wonderful for him. And it will also show something to your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he'll be able to read it if he's not too close to death, and how wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that response. And thank all of you listeners for joining us today. Please tune in every week to KUSF 90.3 FM. We're here every week with wonderful guests like Carol and wonderful conversation about love letters. We encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and to send them while you still have the chance.
If you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.